Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, and
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah, I know.
It is the weekend, 720 WGN, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition, draft day episode here and on great stations all around the country. Jim Bob, we are here. You know, we often talk about wherever we are becoming the epicenter of excitement for it. But when it comes to football, it is
what? Me. It's the Jim Bob Show. Not, you know,
I said we often talk about you being in the epicenter of all the excitement. It's undeniable here because the entire NFL nation, so many tribes, some good ones, some bad ones, all the super fans have converged in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's right. That is true, Dan.
Are you ready?
Well, we're going to get into that. That's funny. And people don't even know what we're laughing about yet. But ladies and gentlemen, cheeseheads and champions, welcome to the very special edition of the Jim Bob Show with Dane. And we're right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's raining and your hair is getting messed up, Dane. But from the frozen tundra. But let's talk about, you know, how the draft started for us on Thursday. You know, you were doing some great impressions. Go ahead and let the crowd know how long it took to get the draft started. It was funny.
Well, when they say that they're on the clock, it's like 10 minutes for each one of the first round picks, a little bit of time for a little bit of drama, some insight analysis. But the draft show has about 6 hours of pre-draft show, which I think the word show is kind of an extra generous description. It really is every 45 minutes. Are you ready? Yeah, Green Bay.
Because most of the time the girls are, what are you going to wear tonight?
Right. So it's like, and here's our hosts. It's like Rondé Barber and then two like girls from Fox and Friends. And they would come out. And of course, you know,
they walk slow too. I mean, they're really slow.
So for entertaining 205,000 people, yeah, you can't really hear what they're saying. They're just mumbling what their dinner plans are. Oh, you look nice today. What's going on? And then they would do that for 20 minutes. You can't hear anything. We're being trampled by just random drunken everybody. Fans in like team gear. Like
little 5'0" fan. And she just barreled through both of us like, excuse me, I've got to get to the front right now. We're getting ready to draft our guy. Okay. I mean, they didn't care.
Every 45 minutes. Are you ready now, Green Bay? Right, that's what they would do, and then they're inspiring people to. I'm sure they made a bunch
another
of money.
Beer,
yeah, another beer. 1695 Bush Light.
I think the Budweiser distributors in the back going like moving his hands, like stretch it out. We're selling a lot.
Keep
of beer
it rolling.
Right now.
Keep it rolling. We got to hit numbers
before they go to sleep. Let's get them all sold.
Right. So after 6.5 hours of "Are you ready?" then finally Roger Goodell comes out, and you know it's him because everyone's booing. Now, what is it, Jim Bob, in your opinion? Seems like a nice enough guy. I don't know if he ever did anything specifically bad to anyone. He's just like the villain, the bad guy of the NFL.
Yeah, he is. What was that Penelope pit stop? What was the bad guy's name on that? Dastardly. Dick Dastardly. he's like Dick Dastardly. I mean, for whatever reason.
The commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. Everyone's boo, boo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Roger did to all those fans, but man, he did something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a hidden book or something. I don't know. Hidden pictures.
But the players love him. Obviously, he's there handing him their first-round draft pick jersey, and then they fist bump and high-five and hug each other, and he'll carry him. And, you know, it seems like the players love him, got a great relationship with those brand-new stars of the NFL.
Yeah, they're new stars. I wonder how many general managers today are basically sweating like a politician on a lie detector test about their draft pick. Did I do okay? Did I do right? What do you think? I mean, I don't know. I think there was a lot of Cleveland could have had Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. you know, Cleveland Buffaloes, or, you know, whatever you want to call Cleveland. But
man, Colorado Browns.
Exactly. That would have been something, though, to have both of those players joined up together. And they, you know, they had their shot on that. So they traded down, and they got a good player. There's no doubt about it. But boy, having somebody like Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, that would have been something to talk about.
Jim, what is the thought process? Are they, because you have those draft rooms, it's just a room full of people all feverishly, you know, with, they've got whiteboards and schematics and Excel spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff, and trying to figure out, they've had months and months to work on this, especially for these first picks. Is it that they're set on certain guys, or are they really like, well, who's available? What's the best player? Or are they sticking and moving? Because you mentioned who is going to be regretting the picks. There's some obvious ones that I think everyone would be like, well, that's what I would have done. And then there's been some real surprises.
Yeah, I tell you what, and general managers and teams have a couple ways to go. I mean, you can draft for what your real need is. All right. And you can stay in.
Bears would be offensive line.
Yep. You can stay in that lane. You can draft for, okay, who's the best player out there that we're getting a real value for here at this position? Or you can draft out of your needs and draft away from who's the best guy and do something really crazy. And everybody looks at you and go, what are you doing? And you know, I mean, really, I mean, that's how it goes. I mean, and so they've got to pick a lane as to where they want to go, is, and you know, regards to what kind of controversy do you want to start? It's like, you know, it's like Atlanta when they drafted Michael Penix last year, and after they signed, you know, Kirk Cousins to a world record contract, they draft him, and it has everybody goes, what lane are we trying to do here? I'm just curious.
Do we seem like we know what we're doing, and did we make a decision that we were comfortable with before, and now, geez, we've pivoted in a bunch of ways. When it comes to the Bears, and this is where Bear fans, and Bear fans are tolerant of, you know, non-success and losing or whatever, so I, you know, I don't know after a few weeks if everybody would just be okay with it, but this is the year, and as long as I can remember, where the Bears have filled almost every need, and they have that specifics of the offensive line. We knew just based on the players available, they were likely going to take one of those top, and there was one that was, you know, rated much higher on the tight end side, Tyler and they Warren, did it. They took the other guy. Now, we talked about, because he was from Michigan, the new head coach of Detroit, that maybe just from, you know, popularity, proximity, that maybe Michigan is just more influential than maybe outsized.
Yeah, well, I think that the draft for the Bears and their offseason work has been really good. You know, it's funny. The draft grades come out faster than a wife judging bad wedding gifts. Oh, my God, you see what Carl and Denise got us? That's an F. So, I mean, A plus, A minus, B, F. I mean, it's like a final exam that nobody really studied for. But it's kind of like what happened is that I think that I gave the Bears a A, and then you talked me into like an A minus on the.
Well, you've been an optimist. I think the Bears should be very thankful that you have come out. A lot of people have been critical, but you've come out and said, "Hey, I don't know. He's a difference maker. He can do some things, you know, in a good way." And we, you know, at least at this point, one pick down in this administration, you got to trust.
He's a great route runner, and he's got great hands. I think he runs routes exceptionally well. I think he probably, you know, I think Tyler Warren was a great football player, and we'll see what happens 5 years from now. You know, who's going to be getting all the accolades? Well, a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, Tyler Warren went to the system in with the Colts there, and I'm not for sure that's ideal for him. I think Loveland went with the Bears. He could end up really special.
When it comes to some of the surprises, and we've seen this over the years, where a player that was, and sometimes there's scandal involved. You know, one that comes to mind is Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp was, you know, highly rated, but then there were some drug allegations, right? And then he dropped, got Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not sure exactly why he dropped, but he didn't go as high as maybe he would hope to. He had a chip on his shoulder, probably served him well. It comes to Deion and his son and what's going on here. Just your thoughts on that. Is this warranted, or is he the victim, really, of his family legacy?
I think a little bit of that. I think he's a little bit of that victim. I think he's a little bit of victim of actions by himself as well. I mean, you know, some of this is he might have brought it on, you know, to himself in some of the interviews leading up to the draft. And you know, you have some anonymous sources saying this. I mean, when I watch him, I think he holds the ball too long. I think he's an exceptional athlete. And I think that, you know, he's definitely a top. He's in the top four quarterbacks. So if he's not taken as the next quarterback, I will be shocked. And I would have to say that if the Browns don't pick him up in this next pick, I'm not for sure, you know, where he ends up falling out. But at some point, somebody's going to go, well, hey, man, he's a real value at a four. And let's keep in mind, let's look at all the quarterbacks that won Super Bowls that weren't first round draft picks, that won Super Bowls. One of them comes to mind is a guy by the name of Tom Brady. You know, I mean, he wasn't a first round
pick. Like a seventh round pick or something.
Yeah, I mean, but so there's, you know, like I said, the draft is really not the goal. The goal is at the end of your career when you go back and you go, yeah, I won seven Super Bowls.
In the Jim Bob Show Draft Day Edition, we're going to have some interviews with some great players around the draft. We're going to have some reactions as people and players share their draft day as well. Some of our reactions to what's going on with that as well. And before we go to break, Jim Bob, let's talk about this. This is one of those events, unlike a regular game, where there aren't really winners and losers. Everybody wins. If you're an NFL fan, you are here just reveling in sort of fandom and just loving the sport, loving what the NFL has become. They have turned what was really just in the ballroom at the Radisson into, yeah, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Here's the way I look at it. You know, we always talk about the undefeated flavor of El Bandido Yankee. Well, right now it's the draft days. We got a couple days left here. Everybody's undefeated. Everybody's got hope. Nobody's thrown a pick six. it's a lot of celebration and everything, and so and it's a festive spirit up here. Well, I'll tell you what, Green Bay did a nice job, like I said, that busing people in. I don't know if this was a political event, and I don't know what they were trying to do here, but boy, they sure bust them in.
The picks continue. The fans are super, and everybody, you always win with the undefeated flavor of El Bandido Yankee Tequila. We'll be back with more right after this. It's the Jim Bob Show, Game Day Edition.